We are thrilled that you joined us today. The message you're about to hear is filled with the life-changing power of God's Word. We would love for you to share with us how God has impacted your life through this message. Visit us at riverrochester.com or attend any of our services at the River Church in Brockport, New York. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you enjoy today's message.
There's a few different directions I felt we could have gone tonight, as every time I get up to preach, but I felt to go this way. So I'm going to talk tonight about the dream comes. The dream comes. I'm talking about how the dream comes in your life, about how the vision comes to pass in your life. Because each of you possesses a vision, a call, or a dream on the inside of you. Whether you have seen it, have an inkling of it, or even know what it is at this point, it's there. It's on the inside. It might be in the smallest of seed form right now, but each and every one of you have it. And the dream comes by applying, of course, the Word of God and allowing the Holy Spirit free reign in your life. But I want to give you some tips tonight on how you can help bring the dream to be. And I'll try not to be distracted by the very cute baby in the third row standing up right now. Number one, the dream comes by seeking. The dream comes by seeking. You see, you have to seek the Lord for the heavenly plan. It sounds like a very simple and obvious thing, but I'm going to tell you a little tip right now. It is the simple and it's the simple things in life that often go, overlooked. It's the simple things, you know. Oh, it's like, oh, I know to do that. You know, it's the little things of, oh yeah, I know that's how things work. It's those things that oftentimes go undone by many people. So it's like, oh, I know the Lord has a plan for my life. Of course I do. I've been sitting in church for years. I've known the Lord for a long time. Of course the Lord has a plan for my life. Are you crazy? It's like, okay, what is the plan for your life? Oh, I don't know. No clue. But he has one. I know it. So how do you find out what it is? I mean, is there a big secret? Well, I mean, there is a secret, but it's actually a very simple secret. The secret is with God. So if the secret of the plan for your life is with God, then you have to go to God. And you actually have to go to God with the intention of getting the plan. This is a faith church. So you know that by faith, you accomplish things, that by faith, God brings victory to you. But you have to apply your faith, don't you? And you only see your faith answered by what you actually pointed at. Amen? You don't just all of a sudden, you know, some people are believing for 10,000 things and they never see one thing come to pass because they never actually just focus on one thing they're believing for. You know, some people are believing like, well, Lord, you know, I 10 grand surely would be nice right now. Meanwhile, they've, you know, never given more than $5 in the offering. Their finances are a mess. They never actually, you know, focused in on something tangible like, well, you know what? I need this right now. I'm believing for this. I'm going to put seed in the ground and I'm going to call that thing forward. And, you know, then they see $500 coming or they see this bill paid for. Or they see that happen. Many times people live in an area of faith or they look at faith as, oh, it's this great big thing and we can accomplish anything. But faith is practical, and faith, you will accomplish things if you actually aim at them. So you have to aim. So if you're going to get the plan of God for your life, you have to seek it. If you're going to get the plan of God for your life, you have to, when coming to God, make that your aim. You have to come to the Lord humbly and open and saying, Lord, I'm here. I'm ready. I want the plan. I surrender. I surrender. Nothing comes till you come to God. Nothing happens until you come to God. And nothing comes until you then surrender. Many people come to God. And that's as far as they get. Because the coming to God is fantastic. And his presence comes. And many people start to receive a touch. But the second the Lord starts to speak of the plan, it can freak people out at times, especially when the plan sometimes involves, well, stop doing this, stop doing that. We're going to focus on this area. Of course, this isn't how God speaks. This is me, you know, interpreting right now in the message. God doesn't come to me and say, well, this is how it's going to work, Samuel. You know, God speaks to us all as we need to be spoken to. He has that key relationship with all of us. But some people, the second that the Lord actually comes and starts to interfere with their realm and their world, it's just like, okay, I like the presence. I like the feeling. I like, you know, coming to church. I like all this stuff, but I don't like what's going to have to happen if I'm going to move forward. I don't want to fully go all in. Of course, I know I'm preaching to the choir, but sometimes you got to preach to the choir. I don't know where the phrase preaching to the choir ever came from. It doesn't seem like a very good saying, because my response would be, the devil was the worship leader in hell. I mean, in heaven, so you know. You're preaching to the choir. The devil led the choir. You sure that's the saying you want to, you know? It's probably a good thing I wasn't around during the genesis of that saying. I would have ruined it for them. Proverbs 19 and verse 21, it says, there are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord will stand. You see, there are many plans out there. Even people, they have lots of plans, lots of ideas. I can do this. I can do that. The world is my oyster. I can do anything. What will set you apart in this life and what will set you apart in eternity is to get the God-ordained plan. Because this isn't just about this life. It isn't just about this life. I want you to have the best possible life you can have now, but I want you to have the best possible life you can have with eternity in mind. Remember, eternity is the next step. We have this life, and then we have eternity. Some people are going to spend eternity in heaven. Some people are going to spend eternity in hell. But I want you to realize and understand eternity, you can't comprehend it. Try to think about it right now. Try to imagine eternity right now, whether you've lived 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 60 years. You can't imagine what eternity is. And we have this little life right now that we're living. So we don't need to put all of our stock in, this is my life and this is everything I need to accomplish in this life. You need to get sight of eternity, of heaven. Because when you have sight of eternity, that's when God's plan will come in. Because you're no longer just living for yourself. You're living for eternity. And I'm going to tell you right now, the Christians who accomplish the most in this life and who really shake the gates of hell and who really change things are the ones who have eternity in mind the most. They are the ones who are thinking, what's next? Because they're not just going to do things based upon what's good right now or what feels good right now. They're going to do things based upon what needs to be done. The good thing is that everything I'm saying right here, it comes when you seek the Lord. This isn't something, you know, oh, how do I get this? How do I get that? You simply seek the Lord. When you seek him and his plan, this is what becomes your life. It takes over. When you set your sights on the Lord, he overtakes you. When you set your sights on the Lord, he overtakes you. He overtakes you. And remember something, the word of God said in the book of Amos, surely the Lord God does nothing without revealing his purpose to his servants, the prophets. Another translation replaces the word purpose there with secrets. He reveals his secrets. And forget the prophet's part. To his children. To you. To you. God reveals things to those of his children who seek him. I'm going to go to Habakkuk right now. So if you want to go to Habakkuk with me. Or Habakkuk, if you'll say it that way. Chapter 2. I'll start in verse 1. I will stand at my watch and station myself on the watchtower. I will keep watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on the tablets, that he who reads it may run. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but it speaks of the end and does not lie. If it delays, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. The vision is for an appointed time, and write it down. Do you like there? It says, write it upon the tablets. My goodness, even in the Old Testament, the Lord knew that the iPad was coming. Get the vision and write it on your iPad. Write it on your phone. Make it plain for any Russian bot who is trying to hack your phone. Make it plain. Make it so... Sorry to the Russians right there. That's a joke. Oh, my goodness. Oh, praise the Lord. Make it plain so that anyone who reads it could run with it. You know, it's very difficult to write down something that you don't have. Step one is write it down. Actually, step one, if we're going to get real technical here, is stand on the watchtower, which is seek the Lord. Get up to that high place where the Lord is. Seek him. Then the vision will come. Then write it down. If you don't have the vision written down or a plan written down, I can give you an idea of how much of it you're going to see. But you already know what I'm going to say. But I'll say it. Zero. You have to be intentional with the Lord. When you are intentional with him, he is intentional with you. When you put your focus on him, he puts his focus on you. And the people who the Lord is focused on, they achieve. They see God's mighty hand move. And that's what you want, right? You want to see the Lord's hand in your life. Well, I'm here to say you can see it. All you have to do is seek his face. His hand comes with his face. Have you ever noticed that? If someone's face is in front of you, their hand is close by. If it's not, amen. Yeah, see that. So seek him. Get the plan, write it down. And when we receive our heavenly vision, we must not be disobedient to it. I'm going to tell you right now, people come and go. People come and go, just in your life, all around you. You're going to see people in your life who have the greatest potential, have the greatest, you know, anointing. Sometimes you'll see people, it's like, oh, the anointing on their lives. And then in a matter of months or a matter of weeks or a matter of time, they're gone, they're doing something else, they're not even focused on the Lord anymore. It's not about how, you know, you conceive how powerful the anointing is on somebody's life. It's how diligent you are to be the person who's going to remain. You don't have to be the hardest hitter. You just got to be consistent. You just got to be consistent. The dream comes by planning. The dream comes by planning. Psalm 90, it says, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom." You have a set amount of time in this life in which you can achieve God's call. You have a set time to get things done. Just like every day, you have 24 hours to achieve something. You have, the Bible basically says that, 70 to 80 years is pretty good. 70 to 80 years is pretty good. Some will get that, some won't. Some will get longer. But, the wonderful thing about being a Christian is we're not really worried about how long we're here for. It's more about just accomplishing and getting out of here. When you're a Christian, you don't fear death. The Christian doesn't have to fear death because we know what's next. So all we are really focused on is, well, once the job is done, we can get out of here. Once the job is done, it's like, see ya. Time to get out. So wisdom is going to help make the plans to get to it. Seek the Lord. Teach us to number our days. That was a prayer to the Lord. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. So that means that those who do not number their days, those who do not set plans in motion, and those who do not plan are the opposite of the wise. What would you call the opposite of the wise? What, sir? Foolish. Okay, good. I just didn't want to be the one to say such a negative word. I'm teasing. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9 and verse 10, it says, "Whatever your hands find to do, do it with your strength, for there is no work or planning or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol, the place where you are going." That's basically saying that there's no more planning in the grave. There's no more planning in the grave. Jesus was the only one who had a plan in the grave. And he made a plan in the grave so you never had to. When you're in the grave, you're in heaven. But whatever you find to do, when you find that vision, when you find that purpose, when you find the secret to your life, put your hands to it. Stay single-minded and focused. Single-minded and focused. Distractions are one of the number one causes for people never getting anything done. Some people actually, over-planning is the problem they have. So I'm going to simplify this thing right now. You have to plan. But let's say you have like 24 hours to do something. If you are always setting yourself 7 things you have to achieve that day and you're never accomplishing one of them, then make it real simple. Pull back. Set one thing that you can accomplish. And then when you can accomplish one thing each time, then you step it up. But some people, they just make themselves so overwhelmed that they can't even get anything done because they think, well, I have to get this done, and I have to do this, and then I have to do that, and then I have to remember I still have to shower, and I still have to do this, I still have to, do my hair. Ah! One thing I'll say is, you can be calm. The Lord is very calm. It's very peaceful. There's no freaking out with God. People don't get in God's presence and all of a sudden just, people go into God's presence that way. What am I going to do? I've messed up everything. Do I have time? And the moment you get into God's presence, his reassuring voice comes. I've got this. I've got you. Now let's work toward it. God is peaceful, so don't get out of peace. Remain in peace. That's great advice for life, because I'm going to tell you right now, there's no victory without peace. there isn't any victory without peace. Because peace is a position of faith. Peaceful people believe God. Peaceful people say, the Lord is strong and mighty to deliver. But make your plans for living, make your plans now, that heavenly vision, and then start to move towards it. Understand this. The Bible says, except the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Except the Lord keeps the city, the watchman wakes in vain. So you can go about your own plans building, but everything that you do outside of the Lord, it's wasted. You might not see the waste this side of you know, eternity. Some people make, you know, their entire life out of doing their own thing, and they can make quite a go of it. But remember, I said, we're keeping eternity in mind. And what's going to happen in eternity? I'm going to tell you what's going to happen in eternity. In eternity, you are going to stand before the Lord, and there is going to be an altar next to you. And on this altar, you're going to see your entire life's work. I just want to be able to picture that right now. Right? You're going to stand before the Lord in heaven. You're going to stand before the Lord, and there is going to be an altar with your entire life's work and worth on it. You'll be able to see your entire life on an altar. And then a fire is going to strike it. And if what you did was the Lord's plan and based on eternity, then it will remain. That fire will make it gold, jewels, and precious stones. Whatever you did not do with the Lord, for the Lord, and in the love of the Lord will disappear. It will be burned up like it were wood or hay or stubble. That's eternity in mind. Knowing that one day, all that matters, one day, right now, all that matters is the Lord and His plan. And His plan, so much better than anything you could picture. You might have had ideas before the Lord started getting in your business and rearranging your life. But the second you start surrendering, you start to see, my goodness, what was I even doing? Sometimes you may have even had the plan of the Lord before you even got saved, because it was in your heart. But then all of a sudden you get saved, and now it's going to change the way you're going to approach it, the way you're going to go to it. Some people have had a God-given gift and ability. You look at musicians. They're one of the greatest keys to show that God gives you something, but people either use it for the Lord or they don't, right? Elvis started off as a gospel singer. That was clearly, when you see these people and you see the talent and gifting on their life, you can see that was placed there by the Lord. So I'm going to say, some people, you had the plan, you already had the idea, but when you bring it before the Lord, now He's going to bring His guidance to it. He's going to bring His way of doing things. Remember that when Saul on the road to Damascus was struck down and met with Jesus, he was heading somewhere. That location did not change, but he went in there a different person. He was going to that place to imprison, and he went in there and ended up preaching. So just know that the second God gets a hold of anything, it's only going to get better. And if you shouldn't have had it, it's going to feel good when it goes. Anything that shouldn't be in your life, anything you hold on to and the Lord's trying to get you to release it, the second you actually have the faith to surrender, you realize the weight you are carrying. I remember very strongly one time in church, and I had been in a somewhat rebellious time because I had had this idea of a way of moving forward in my future, and I was pursuing it. And I knew the Lord had not blessed it, but I wanted it. So the Lord had spoke to me several times about the matter, and I was continuing my way. So no, I was not in a good way. I was still smiling. I was still going about church, doing my thing. But internally, I was at war. And then we had a guest preacher that night. And the guest preacher was just, you know, going for it. Being used of the Lord. I was doing security that night. And it came time for the altar. And literally my heart was about, you know, it weighed a ton. It was just heavy in my chest, and it was just like, you know, it was trying to pull me forward. It was literally like, you know, those old cartoons where the heart starts to pull somebody forward. That was what my heart was trying to do. It was saying, get to the altar, dummy. And I was doing everything I could to be like, no, I'm fine. It's like, and then I started reasoning intellectually. I'm on security tonight. I can't go to the altar. That would be rebellious to the job I've been given. I'd done submission and authority. I knew how to try and work around that. I'm being obedient, Lord, to what people have told me to do. That didn't matter to God. And that man of God preaching gave one, because the altar had been open for a while. And he gave one more call. And said, if you don't come, and you know you're supposed to, this could basically, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but he said, this could be the end of God's plan for you on what you were doing. The second he said it, I just, like, it hit me like a ton of bricks, and I just ran forward. And I just ran to that altar weeping. The second I got to the altar, all of the weight I'd been carrying just lifted. And that difficult decision which I'd been warring with was nothing. Simply because I surrendered. And some people struggle with the surrender part. They're at war. And they're warring and they're saying, well, if God's a God of all peace, why am I at war right now? This can't be God. You know, people in rebellion, you know, trying to reason their way. Well, I just don't have peace right now. It's because you're fighting the will of God, dummy. I'm speaking like this to the people who are listening, not to you. For the future people who are listening to this message, that's who I'm speaking so sternly to. Some people, it can't be the will of God that I'm doing this thing he told me to. I have no peace. It's because you haven't surrendered. The second you actually surrender yourself to God's will, that's when the peace comes. As long as you're of two minds, what does the Bible say about a double-minded man? Unstable in every single way. When you meet people who are unstable, it's because they've got two minds at war. And doesn't just say they're unstable in that way. It says they're unstable in everything. Which is why some people's lives are a mess. It's difficult to be at war in yourself and anything to be going well. Just like it's difficult for a country to be at war. Like the actual country itself. Like if you were at war and had an invading army. It'd be difficult to say, well, you know, there's a war going on right now, but still. Quite lovely, the beaches right now. It's quite nice. Now, when there's a war going on inside of you, you can't appreciate anything. But the Lord, he's so good. He's always going to keep... He's going to do everything he can. But I'm going to tell you right now, just like that preacher had said to me, That was the last call I was going to hear. Because I had heard it from myself, and the Lord had spoke to me several times, and I had rejected it. And then that's when the Lord came with somebody to speak to me. I'm going to tell you right now, if I had rejected that, I'd have been on my own. Does that mean I couldn't have gone to the Lord later and repent? Of course I could have. But I'm going to tell you right now, you don't want to test the Lord when it comes to how far can I get away from the call before I go to finally achieve it. You know who did that? Samson. Samson achieved a great thing in his last moments, but he was blind and he had a real bad haircut. None of you want that. Well, some of you might say, well, if I'm blind, does it matter what my hair looks like? Be quiet, you're ruining my point. Samson went to the edge. He went to the edge of how far can I push the Lord? One preacher said it this way. I think that boy wanted a haircut. And when you read about Samson, you really kind of have to think, kind of seems like he did. He was not, I mean, he was used of the Lord, but let's be honest, he was kind of a fool in many ways. And he was still used, so thank God for that. God uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. I thank God for that scripture daily. So you're only going to get to God's plan by complete surrender. It's the only way. And you are going to have many times to wrestle with what is the right step forward or what should I be doing now. You're going to have plenty of opportunity, guys. You might have about 365 opportunities this year. Or double that. Like I said, if you're at war in yourself, if you're unstable in your mind, you might have, you know, 5 or 6 times a day you're at war. But when you meet people who are single-mindedly focused on the Lord, they radiate nothing but peace and joy. So if you're lacking peace, if you're lacking joy, I've got good news for you. All you have to do is surrender. All you got to do is come to the Lord. He'll correct. He'll guide. He's got the guidance system you need. All you have to do is call on his name. Seek his face. The dream comes by business. What do I mean by that? Let's go to the book of Ecclesiastes again. Chapter 5 and verse 3. For the dream hath come by abundance of business, and the voice of a fool by abundance of words. Some wonderful scripture there, breaking things down for you very clearly. Ecclesiastes is a great book as long as you know how to handle it. If you don't know how to handle it, it's a terrible book for you to go near. If you're strong in the Word and have a good foundation in the Lord, the book of Ecclesiastes is a good book to study. If you're very new in the Lord, it's a very confusing book. I wouldn't go near it until you're grounded. Just like the book of Job. You would never suggest a new Christian to read the book of Job. I would never suggest a brand new believer to read anything but the New Testament. Whenever I would get my life right with the Lord when I was young, I would start trying to read through the Bible from the beginning. Sometimes I'd get, you know, halfway through Genesis. Sometimes I'd get to the end. Sometimes I'd get into Exodus. But at some point, Leviticus hits and it's over. In this life, you'll have an abundance of business, an abundance of getting the job done, or you'll have an abundance of words. If you'll notice, the people who are always talking about what they're going to do, you very rarely see them actually getting it done. Whereas the people who really get things done, they do it, and then they'll tell you what they've done. It's not a great thing to go around telling everybody what you intend. Well, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. The people that really, they're achieving something, it's like, let me show you what I just did. Let me tell you what I've just done. And that scripture breaks it down there. The dream has come by an abundance of business. And then it says, and the voice of a fool by the abundance of words. So that means that a fool has an abundance of words, which will always curb my tongue. In other words, do more than you talk. Do more than you say. The dream comes by doing. You see, faith begins where your diligence ends. And that simply means you do everything you can in your power, and then you allow God to do what only He can do. For instance, if someone is looking, you know, if someone is seeking that the Lord, you know, and I'll bring it back to Bible school in my time, have a lot of people there, and a lot of people who are, you know, going there, and it's 5 days a week, and it's daily, and they're looking that the Lord makes a way and provides. A lot of people in class were just looking for the Lord to pay for everything, and them not work. The people that wouldn't work didn't last very long. Because people were looking for, like, well, the Lord's going to provide everything I need. It's like, yes, He will, but not if you're lazy. The Lord will do everything He can, but you have to be about your business. When you do everything you can, God does what you can't. Whereas if you're just, you know, waiting around for everything while doing nothing, well, there you go. Those who wait on the Lord. Not waiting as in doing nothing, but those who are pressing into the Lord, seeking the Lord. I was at a restaurant the other day and I had a waiter. He waited on me. Be a pretty terrible waiter if his definition of waiting on me was to just disappear. The manager comes over an hour or two later. Has everything been taken care of? I haven't even ordered yet. What? Yeah, the waiter's gone. I've just been sat here. In America, you can maybe get away with that because they always have that free bread. If you're in England, you're going to go hungry. In America, they care about the service. In England, it's get out of my way. In America, it's I'm here to serve you. In England, it's you're an inconvenience to me right now. Those are my people. In Proverbs 21 and verse 31, it says, the horse is prepared for the day of battle, but victory is of the Lord. The horse is prepared for the day of battle, but victory is of the Lord. And that is basically saying what I am saying. You have to get your horse ready. You have to get, if you're going to war, you have to do everything you can ready for the battle. But then when you hit the battlefield, the Lord takes over. But you still have to get your butt to the battlefield. Amen? You still got to get up. Imagine going to the battlefield in your underwear. You'll get laughed at. Or they'll think you're Scottish. Oh no, wait, that's skirts. Never mind. The increase is going to come in your plan, in the vision. Sometimes you only have a seed of the vision, a seed of the plan. Some people, when the beginning, they don't even have an idea, really, because they still see this kind of thing, and they still think, okay, yeah, I could work towards that. When you truly actually get into the Lord's plan, you begin to see that you can't even see it all just by looking at it, and you couldn't possibly achieve it. That's how you know you have God's plan. When it is, with all intents and purposes, impossible. You have your area in which you can work it, but in order for you to get there, it's like, well, that's a one in a million. No, no, no. That's the Lord. Because the Lord is never going to have you do something where you can say, yeah, I did it. I got there. Look at me. No, the Lord gets the glory. And the Lord will put plans on your heart where only it could be said, he did it. You want to see your family saved? Just go about the plan of the Lord. You want to see your family see that God's real? Just go about the plan of the Lord. You can do a whole lot of talking with family, but really, just let the Lord show them through your life. I'm just speaking that by the Holy Ghost right now. You know, some people, you can talk to the family. Some family members, all they're going to see, all they're looking for is the result of, well, if this God of yours is real, then I'm going to see it in your life. And when you seek the Lord, everybody will. Because you'll do things that aren't possible. And you'll do things where it's like, you tell them the story and it's like, that is crazy. How did that even happen? The Lord always makes a way. The Lord always makes a way. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Don't lose sight of the vision of the focus. Keep the Lord always before you. Keep him always before you. You know, we usually always talk about beginnings and endings. Well, there's the middle part where you got to keep going. So I'm telling you, for anyone in the middle of a particular part, you're not in the wrong place. You're not doing the wrong thing. The Lord's with you. The Lord is strong for you. Keep going. Keep going and you'll see his hand like never before. Some people step away just before that point. Some people step away at that point where it's just like the pressure is too much. Well, where the pressure is too much is where you are to completely trust and rely on the Lord. And when you are operating by the Holy Ghost and actually fulfilling the plan of God for your life, you'll be in situations where the pressure around you in the natural is insane and would crumble anyone else who tried to step into your shoes. But people won't even be able to tell what's happening because you only have peace and joy and love pouring forth from you. It's no great virtue when people know you're going through a struggle. It's great virtue when there's a struggle, but people can't even see it. Not because you're hiding it, But because to you, the Lord has this, the Lord has me, I have his peace and his joy. I've got the victory. The dream comes by keeping eternity in mind. I'll read a quote we're here right now from a man called Woodrow Kroll. You have eternity to enjoy the honeymoon, but only a short time to prepare for the wedding. We have that great wedding coming when we, the church, and Jesus reunite. And then it's the honeymoon of heaven. I told you to picture eternity before, and you can't. Well, just go ahead and put heaven in mind right now. You don't even have to think about eternity and how long that is when you're thinking of heaven. Because anyone knows who has been in the presence of God before, when the presence of God and the anointing is in a place, hours can feel like seconds. So it's all relative, but when you're in heaven, trust me, you're not going to be thinking about time. Some people have said, oh, is it just going to be like a church worship service? Anyone who said that, all they've ever had is bad church worship. It's like, I get it, because I was raised on bad church worship. I was raised in very corny churches where the worship was very come-by-ish. And just like, oh goodness, this is awful. When I was a kid, I would sit and read during worship. Because the second the preacher got up and started preaching, it's like, okay, now I can focus. I'd put the book down. The second I actually got worship and began to understand worship, everything changes then. And everything changes when you realize, keeping eternity in mind and his presence in mind, you're not going to worry about anything else. When you're in the presence of God, no worry comes on you. The things you were worrying about actually melt away and disappear, and you think, why was I worrying about that? When the presence of God comes on you, it dissolves every piece of unsurety, and all that remains is the steadfast rock underneath. The Bible tells us to set our face like a flint, to set our face like a rock, unchanging, and that's what you have to do. You have to make it so that all that's there on the surface is the purpose, the focus, the vision, the dream. I talk about this stuff so much because it's so important. You have to know what you're aiming for. You guys are aiming for eternity, having fulfilled your plan, God's plan for your life. It's no good to be told what you can have on this earth if you don't know why you're getting it. It's no good just being able to, you know, live by faith on this earth and get some things you need if you're not even knowing what you're running towards. Because the Bible says that we're running a race. So what good is it to be winning a race you don't even know what you're, you know, running toward? What does it matter? And if you don't know what race you're running, well, then you won't get to the end. A lot of people think that the race is a 100-meter dash. So they start real strong, and they run as fast as they can. And then after 100 meters, it's like, well, I'm about done now. But the marathon runners, the ones who are like, okay, I'm in this for a while, they have to run a different way. Because they know the end is coming, but it's going to be a little while. They have to set themselves up for the endurance. You know, Usain Bolt is the greatest runner in the world until you throw him into a marathon. You know, the greatest speed runner is the greatest runner in the world until you throw him into a distance run. And you need to be distance runners, not speed runners. It's not about how quickly you can get to where you think you need to be. It's simply about setting your face on the target, on the end, and moving towards it. That's right, I'm talking about the tortoise and the hare. That great biblical classic. Just keep moving. Keep going forward. Amen? Run your race. But run the race knowing what you're running towards. Run the race knowing what the Lord has placed on the inside of you. This is what the dream comes by. It comes by seeking, comes by planning, by business and doing, and by keeping eternity in mind. So when you're seeking the Lord tonight, seek Him and seek that. Get refreshing. Sometimes people get a little stale. The Bible says that times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. How do you know when you need to be refreshed? Just go ahead and ask somebody next to you. They'll tell you real honestly. Do I look like I need to be refreshed? Well, it's all over your face, whether you do or not. I'm not trying to insult you. I'm just trying to tell you the truth. The billboard either says, God is good, or, gee, I hope God is good. These are some of the biggest amens I've ever gotten in my life tonight. It's powerful preaching. Amen. Gonna message Jonathan Shuttlesworth later and tell him he ain't got nothing on me. Now it's time to settle some stuff in your heart tonight. So without further ado, just everyone close your eyes, bow your heads, and just come before the Lord right now. Come before the Lord tonight. Seek His face. Seek His wisdom. Seek that plan, that vision. If you need to make a correction, he'll advise you in it. If you need to do a complete turnaround, He'll advise you in it. He'll get you forward. He'll move you forward. He won't see you trapped or stopped or moving backwards. If you're moving along steadily, He'll just encourage you and He'll refresh you.
Thanks for listening to this message from the River Church. We hope you stay connected with us online at riverrochester.com.